Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on this hump day afternoon. We are in the 4:30 half hour. We are in the midst of our broad appeal segment, which we do every week at this time. I've got State Senator Sarah Kieski of State Senate District 14 with me. She's been on the show before, if you've heard her voice. It is so lovely to have her back. I especially, Sarah, wanted to talk about this bill that you've introduced alongside Senator Jesse James, a Republican who has been on this program before. This is a bill that is addressed, is specifically designed to reduce healthcare costs for folks with substance use disorder who are already eligible for Medicaid and are currently incarcerated either in our state prison system or in county jails as they're getting ready for release. Tell us how this works. First of all, just the nuts and bolts of the bill. What is it you're asking for?
So right now, state or local municipalities pay for any kind of medical behavioral health type treatment if somebody is incarcerated. And that can be a cost that is hard to manage, especially in small localities. And so this is not just considering that cost piece, but also what happens is once somebody that has been incarcerated is then released, then their care ends right there. And so then they all of a sudden have to kind of figure out, well, where am I going to maybe get my medication-assisted treatment if I have a substance abuse or disorder? Or where am I going to do case management? Where am I going to get the services needed? So what this is having getting a Medicaid waiver through the federal government, which allows then incarcerated individuals to start getting those services up to 90 days before release so that they can begin the process of getting those things into place. So when they are then released, they will have up to 30 days of medication that they might need, or again, some of these services already kind of established. This can help with any recidivism, because what we know is that if people are struggling, they're going to be more likely to maybe go back to their use of substances and or struggle in other ways. And so, and there's also a high incident of overdose deaths following incarceration. And so we're really trying to think about the person, but also then the context of the community and how this can help healthier communities, improve these outcomes, and also help the finances of our state.
Yeah, it serves a number of purposes, right? It's good for taxpayers, and it's good for community, and it's good for the person who is incarcerated. This is one of those things that I do not understand why there isn't just an absolute stampede of bipartisan legislators to support something like this. Yeah. We all know that a lot of folks that commit crimes, especially what I'm going to call some of the lower end offenses, less violent offenses, are people that are struggling with either undiagnosed or undertreated mental health disorders. Mm-hmm. And therefore, or not related to that, end up with substance abuse disorders. If we're not going to simply lock up everyone who has a serious mental health problem for the rest of their lives, or lock up someone and just incarcerate and criminalize all addiction permanently, which is not something society can bear the cost of, right, nor is it a moral thing to do, right? It's inhumane. Mm-hmm. Then the idea of trying to help people as they're transitioning out of a facility and back into their communities with mental health issues and with substance abuse issues is the most no-brainer thing I could, like, it is up there in the why the hell haven't we done this yet category. And again, if you are actually concerned about crime and making communities safer, this is where you make an investment, right? My guess is that in states that have this, I didn't have time to research this, but that have this, they see pretty good returns on the dollars here. And again, this is trying to bring federal dollars in so that there's less burden on state and local taxpayers. I'll just make this last observation, and then I'd like to get your sense in our last couple of minutes here of whether or not you think this will be successful, whether you're talking rural or suburban or urban county jail facilities, guess what, folks? Being incarcerated is one of the only circumstances in this country where you are guaranteed health care. Mm-hmm. And it is hella expensive. That is borne by state and local taxpayers. And anything that helps reduce crime and reduce those costs is great for everybody. That is my last word on that. It is a challenge in Milwaukee County. Is it a challenge in Ashland County and Brown County and everywhere? Because that is one of the most at-risk populations, that whether you're talking about mental health or substance abuse disorders. What do you think the odds are that this gets enacted into law, Senator Kieske?
Well, so again, we have to get a waiver from the federal government. So this is a bill that would ask our Department of Human Services to do that ask. So it's trying to get that piece passed, right? So I'm hopeful, but I'm not sure that the other side of the aisle is going to be as supportive as I would hope, because sometimes there's a desire to keep punishing people that have done wrong. And it's hard sometimes to see this need to also have this humane effort to help them achieve better so that we can all benefit. And so that's one of the pieces. Then whether or not the federal government will allow it is going to be the next question. And we're a purple state. We'll see.
Folks, get on the horn, call your state senators and representatives and tell them to get behind this bill. It works for the person that is incarcerated. It works for the community. It works for taxpayer dollars. This is a no-brainer. When we come back, we talk with Rachel LaCoste Ford about her family's journey and the Affordable Care Act. Stay tuned. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.